you're going to be very busy in the upcoming months. I know you have a show with Whiplash, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. August 16th.
Yeah, how'd that show come together?
Basically, we were trying to set up a record release for our new record coming out in May, on May 24th. And since I'm going to be gone in June, we were looking at July and then August. And then I was talking to Tony because I know they're doing 40 years of Power and Pain. And so we just decided, you know what, let's just join both bands together. We can promote our new record and they can promote their 40 years of Power and Pain.
That's going to
So,
be an excellent show. Where's that going to take place?
Los Angeles.
Los
That's
Angeles.
Terragram Ballroom, downtown Los Angeles. It's a great venue. We played there last year with Dark Angel, those two shows with Dark Angel. So it's a great crowd.
Yeah, man, that's the place to see all these shows. I'm stuck in Boston, so unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure there's a metal scene over there, right?
Yeah, it's all right. There's it's more in Worcester, if anything,
Okay,
which
I
is like
get it.
kind of
Yeah.
south of Boston. So Toxic Grace coming out in May, very, very exciting. You know, the band only has four records, so every time there's a release, it's a celebration. What made the band want to put out a fourth studio album?
Well, it was something that we've had in the back of our minds. Originally, we went in to just do four songs, like an EP. That was my original idea. And the band agreed, hey, yeah, let's just do four songs. So we went into recorded four songs, and then the label heard it and they really liked the material and they encouraged us to do a full length. So the initial idea was an EP, but so then we just, you know, kept writing and put some more songs together, and we had to switch producers in the process because the other guy got busy, but it all came together. It just took a little longer than normal.
You remember what those four songs were?
Yes, I do. It was we called it SOP, which stands for Stupid on Parade. Let me see. Bathing Fire was the first one. That's come a little more doomy.
Yeah.
Out in July. Bathing Fire, SOP. Subjugated Souls, which comes out in 9 days as a single and lyric
Sweet.
video. And then we did a cover of Killing Joke, the Death and Resurrection show, kind of our version of it. And that was for a bonus track for the vinyl and the digital. So those were the first four songs we recorded.
Wow, yeah. Well, I'm glad that's a common thing now. I know Violence has that where it's like we're just doing EPs now. Where I feel like some, and it's so funny because some of the stuff off that EP has more streams than some of the stuff off Eternal Nightmare. So there's definitely a new generation of fans who like the new material. Me myself, I got to listen to the record and the song Fear Porn. I think the riff is just always in my head.
It's catchy, right?
I'm really glad you guys kept with the full length because I got to
Oh,
listen
of
to it.
course. Of course,
It's
yeah. I
fucking
mean,
excellent.
we wanted to call the album Fear Porn, but I think we would have ran into some problems. It doesn't translate very well to these, you know? So, yeah, that's one of my favorite tracks on the record for sure. It's a strong song. It's a fun song, yeah. It
Yeah,
was a
talk about
bottom
going out with
for
a
sure.
bang for real.
Yeah, it kicks ass for sure.
Yeah, so what was with this record, what was the creative chemistry like between members when like putting it together in the songwriting process?
It was, you know, like I said, the first four songs went smooth, no, just really quick. Then when we go, okay, let's do a record, that's when we really had to dig deep and come up with ideas. Our lead guitarist, Albert Gonzalez, he has a like a arsenal of riffs always, you know. So it was just a matter of me and him getting together along with Rob, our drummer, and getting in we went old school, went to the a lot of it was a garage, you know. We went to the Garage Days Revisited style, and just went into Phil's our singer's garage and just hammered out all the ideas there. And you know, and our bass player came over, drove over when he can make it. Most of the time he could, and it was rather, actually it was kind of smooth. All the ideas kind of flowed. We just took our time to make sure you know, riff one would go into riff two okay, and the verses worked. And so that was really that wasn't really the any problems there at all. It's when we started recording is where things kind of slowed down because we had to stop and we had those 2 weeks of European shows to do. So it was like we had to stop the process and then start up again when we got back. So that was a little bit of a delay there. But you know, when you take a break, sometimes it's a good thing. You can really listen and break down the songs. And we even actually changed some things around when we got back. So it all worked out for the best.
Oh wow. Well, that's really cool to hear, man. And I feel like garages are the best place for some of the best music was made in those places, you know.
For sure. I mean, that's how we started. You know, that's how when we first started doing this, on the right before the Annihilation record, we did everything in a garage. You know,
Back to the
just
roots.
yeah, with a cassette player and all that stuff. If people remember those things, yeah, we would record all our ideas that way back then. You know, pretty much
Yeah.
do the same thing now. You know, maybe just use digital recorders instead of a cassette. Or no, actually, we use our phones now, so
Yeah,
we don't forget our ideas.
it's convenient and you don't run out of tape, you know?
Exactly, it's right there, you know.
Yeah. So we're talking about the songwriting process. How long did this album take to write from beginning to end?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I want to say a solid year.
Hmm.
Could have been quicker, but you know, you want to take your time with stuff, especially our fourth record. The follow-up to the United States of Anarchy record, so that we put out in 2020. So we really wanted to do something kind of special and make sure all the tempos were right. You know, we just kind of wanted to take our time with this, and we didn't want to rush something out just for the sake of rushing out new music.
Yeah, for sure. And everything's just in place here. Even the art seems iconic within itself. This is the first time you guys have changed artists in the band's career, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the first three albums were done by Ed Repka. Love is a work. It's classic stuff. On this one, we just wanted to, you know, take a little turn. I've been a fan of Dan Goldsworthy's art for a long time, and love his new Aborted album cover that he just did.
Yeah.
And we had these ideas. Actually, Phil, our singer, had the concept in his mind what he wanted to do with the cover, and you know, then I threw in my 2 cents and Dan had his ideas. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a turn, but in art direction. But Dan's a big fan of Ed Repka, so I think he kind of captured our vibe very well on this new album.
For sure, a lot of bands, like even nowadays, I know some bands doing like AI art, and you see the, you know, from their first album to their newest, it seems like it's from a whole different like fucking band, but
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not a I like AI art, but not for us.
yeah.
Maybe for a new band, that would be cool, you know? But nah, we wanted to stick to our roots. It was either going to be Ed Repka or Dan Goldsworthy doing the cover. We didn't really want to stray too much from our what we are, you know? We at the end of the day, we're an underground thrash metal band, and you know, that's our roots, and I think that's what people expect.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys are on Steam Hammer for this, right?
Yes. All our releases have been on SPB Steam Hammer. So I'm kind of excited. You know, I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, how what was it like working with Steam Hammer for this release?
It was good. I mean, they pretty much dig what we like and what we do, and they gave us a lot of creative freedom. Again, the only thing they said, the only thing that was a little bit of a question mark, because they didn't like, you know, like I said, we were going to call the album Fear Porn. No, that ain't happening. Okay, you know, and I understand, you know, totally the politics involved, and you know, nowadays the way things are in 2024. So yeah, that wouldn't have worked very well. So it's yeah, their A&R team's good. Their art department's good. They're, you know, they're a solid label. They're a big distributor in Germany, and we're very happy to be with them.
Yeah, well, Toxic Grace is still a great title for the record. How did you originally get signed, Steam Hammer?
Demo. I mean, we were our you mean back in the 80s?
Back in the 80s.
Annihilation of Civilization, our first album. Well, okay, well, that's a good question. Actually, We originally signed with SPV USA. I don't know if you remember them.
I do
There was
not.
a guy named Joel Leonard who left Combat Records, and they fired and then SPV in from Germany launched SPV USA. It was short-lived. We did an EP called Rise Above. It was three songs on there, and that was put out by. We were signed to SPV USA, and in the middle of that coming out, the label kind of folded. So
Oh, wow.
SPV, yeah, SPV Entertainment in Europe, the original label picked up, obviously had the band signed. So they licensed our EP to Roadrunner. It was Monty Connor's label at the time. Under the flag, I think it was called RC Records. And it was, road, which is like Road Racer. I don't even remember exactly. So they put out our EP. It sold very well, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. And then at that time, as in the transition period, Steam Hammer just kind of we just stuck with Steam Hammer. But originally, we were signed to SPV USA because the guy who was at who launched SPV USA with direction from the Germans used to work at Combat, and I used to be on Combat with Agent Steel and Abattoir. So that was a connection there.
Yeah,
Kind of like,
for
that's
sure.
old school connection there for sure.
Yeah, to Agent Steel for sure. Now, for Annihilation, how'd the label treat you for that? I know a lot of back in the day with when it came up to like debut records, a lot of these like thrash bands really got like shit studio time, barely any budgets.
Right.
So how'd you get treated for Annihilation?
Like I said, we were signed to SPV USA, and they treated us well because they knew
Oh,
our
yeah.
past history with Agent Steel and stuff. We did that here at Track Records. No, not Track Records. As on here in LA, I can't even remember the name of this Music Grinder Studios, where like Nuclear Assault recorded and the Creator and bands like that. So we went in there and recorded everything. So we had a good budget, and we just in the middle of the record we ran out of money to finish the record. So, but I talked to the studio manager, and they let us finish it. And the only thing we suffered a little bit was we only had a few days to mix. So it was like we spent all this time on this in the process, and then now we got to rush to mix. But the good news about all that is I still have the 2-inch masters, and at
Oh,
some
wow.
point. Yeah, at some point, I don't know when, but I've talked to some producers about possibly turning all that material into digital and transforming it over and off the tapes and maybe remixing the record. I know that would piss off some old school fans because they like the OG sound, but I mean, I want to entertain the thought, at least go in there and listen to those tracks individually because I know we've got some really great tones. And it would have been awesome to have a little more time in the mix, but overall it was a very positive experience.
Yeah, well, it's not gonna, and I'm still trying to, I'm just trying to get the timeline straight here, and saying that's very interesting because it's like it's not like it's gonna replace the old record, like it's a cool what
No.
if, you know?
No,
And so,
it's a
what's your thoughts on like bands re-recording
see,
records?
that's kind of a different process, right? I mean,
Yeah.
we have the stuff already recorded. I'm just trying to make it sound better without changing it too much. Re-record, it depends. If you're in a situation where there's a dispute and who owns the material, or if the label owns it, and you want to re-record your masters, I'm not opposed to that. I even think Taylor Swift recently just did that. So I'm not
Yeah.
completely opposed to re-recording material. It's frowned upon. I mean, let's just be real about it. In certain, it depends on the circumstances. I mean, if you're trying to get your masters back, I don't see a problem with re-recording music, but I'm not a fan of it myself. I personally, I think it's I don't know. It just depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, for sure. And I fully agree too, 'cause like some bands will re-record their stuff and it's like slower than the actual record. It's like, well
You know what
then
I mean? Yeah.
what's the point?
Exactly. What's
You
the
know?
point, right?
Yeah. So
Absolutely.
after Annihilation, how soon did you guys start working on Underworld? Like right after?
No, we had some lineup changes and
Yeah.
things change around a bit. Probably 2 years later. I think the Underworld came out in 91, I believe. So in yeah, 2 years actually, yeah, 2 years, about a year and a half later, we started working on it. And I know we changed management. We actually got management at the time, and they influenced us to go a little different direction. With this producer guy, a good friend of mine that we work with on the underworld, and about 2 years later, yeah, year and a half to two.
With lineup changes and management changes, was that something for easy for the band to like get through? Did it shake things
Hell no.
up?
Hell no, man. I mean, if it was up to me, we would have kept the original lineup. A couple guys dropped out. Glad they're back, though. I'll tell you that right now. You know, talking
Me
about
too.
lineup, the transition between United States of Anarchy, our 2020 release, and the new record, Toxic Grace, we have the same lineup, which is really cool, you know, to be able to say that these days with all these bands. You know, unfortunate changing members. I'm not a big fan of changing members. You know, sometimes it happens. So yes, it was a difficult process to be in at the time, and to, you know, I had a lot of weight on my shoulders from to deliver a record. You know, the Underworld record. It kind of all fell on me, and not by design. I mean, I'm not on a power trip or nothing. It just a couple one guy leaves and the other guy leaves, and then I got to get new men. You know, it wasn't a good thing to go through, but we managed.
Well, since you were an agent still, you're probably used to lineup changes.
Unfortunate, yeah, man. I mean, you know, when I started doing this, I'll be honest with you, I kind of just wanted to be in one band only. You know, I grew up with bands like Judas Priest and saw, you know, just two good same guitar players. And even though they had some lineup changes, but very influenced by Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and yeah, man, lineup changes suck, bro. I'll be honest with you, it's horrible.
But
Changes
the band definitely got through them.
it changes the dynamics of the band a bit. But you know, sometimes it happens, and you gotta keep going, man. Can't really sit there and think about it too much.
And once you stick with it, there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel, you know,
Right,
like all
exactly.
four records are fantastic in my opinion.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much.
With the sophomore, so I assume you got like maybe an extension on studio time and a budget
Yeah.
because he ran out last
Yeah,
time.
on the second record, the Underworld, we actually went to we did it in Van Nuys, California. I'm trying to remember the name of the studio. It's God, I can't even. I don't know why I can't remember right now. But it was it's where Nirvana did their record, their big record there. And Dave Grohl bought the what do you call it? Jeez, what the master? Not the master. The mixing board. The
Oh yeah, I
mixing
did hear.
board.
I don't know what studio
Yeah,
that is, but I know
I
what you
can't think of
mean.
the name right now, man. I have the 2-inch masters of that. It just haven't, you know, you just threw me up for a loop on that question, but we did it over there. It was a great, great studio. And yeah, I didn't think Slayer recorded there, some, you know,
Yeah, that's
stuff.
awesome.
So the producer on that was, his name was Warren Croyle. And yeah, that studio was top notch for sure. And we again, on that one, we have more time to do it for sure. And the mix, we took more time with the mix as well. It wasn't rushed.
So and I think it's a great record. How do you reflect on the hiatus between the second and third release?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's a long hiatus, wasn't it?
I
Well, you know,
was
I was,
born between it.
yeah. Right. It the way I reflect on, well, I we relaunched. I got Agent Steel back off the ground. So that was kind of cool. So we did a few records there. Alien Enigma was the last one. Omega Conspiracy and Order of the Illuminati. So we did three records there. So I was busy at the time. And then in 2014, you know, I joined Body Count. So I've been busy with them. So it was a while. Yeah. I mean, There was some leftover material that we ended up using on the Anarchy record. The song Greenhouse, I was from should have been on the first record, actually. We used to
Oh,
play that.
wow.
Yeah, Greenhouse was a song we had from the first album. We just never recorded it. It gave, I guess, the best answer would be it gave me and the rest of the band a lot of time to think and come up with ideas if for a new Evil Dead record.
Yeah, for sure. And it must have improved you as a musician quite a lot. Body Count, Agent Steel,
Yeah,
two
for
very
sure.
different bands.
Totally. And I also want to give a shout out to Albert, our lead guitar player. He just writes some great riffs, and a lot of that Anarchy record, man, a lot of those riffs were, he had from previous bands that he worked with that he re that when we got into the studio, we reworked the songs a bit and, wrote new lyrics and stuff. So, and again, Greenhouse was a song we had from back in the day. So it was a cool record, for sure. We toured Europe recently last year and played a lot of that material off of the Anarchy record and the Annihilation record. We even played the Bathing Fire song coming off the new record, and that actually went over very, very well. I know it's a little more doomy and slow, so it kind of threw people off a little bit, but the reaction was really good. It's a really good live song, especially like on big festivals and stuff. The sound is just massive on those songs.
Yeah, it's a great song, man. And I think it's so cool, man, because with the whole band's discography, everything flows so well, even though there's such a time jump between like the first and Toxic Grace, like you can really mix and match the songs in any way. And not a lot of bands, I feel, could do that,
Yeah,
you
well,
know.
thanks for that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like the new record a lot. It's can't wait for everybody to hear it. I think the songs flow well together. Starts off strong. I mean, the production's really, really strong, I think, on this new record. Sonically speaking, and the way it's mastered and everything. Like I said, we work with two different producers. Rob Hill was first four songs we did, and then Dave Casey, these are guys that you probably haven't heard of, but they're really good at their craft.
Yeah, and honestly, this is probably, I might have to listen to it a few more times, but maybe the best produced Evil Dead record, because I agree fully. Like I was listening to this, and a lot of like new metal releases, it's like, okay, let's just put the knobs here, let's just do this.
Right.
Where there's definitely like it's a very unique, but and it's its own. It's not this like very loud metal production. And
Right.
it's like clear, it sounds great. So it's really awesome, especially with how good the material is on top of it.
That's very kind of you. Yeah, we thanks for recognizing that. Yeah, we took our time. I think the key and some advice is some new bands, I would say just take your time in the studio and just try to be original. That's what that's what we try and strive to do. We really wanted to get the best performances, but also we didn't want like a cookie cutter sound. I don't mean to disrespect anybody like by that, but what I mean is we didn't want to sound like anybody. And a lot of bands may use, or I would say a lot of producers may use like a certain presets of mixes, and they stay in that box. We kind of try not to do that and try to use real amps. I mean, and some we'll use plugins, but we'll mix it with the real amps, so it doesn't all sound the same. We don't want to try to get our own sound is what the key is to the game.
Yeah, it's so nice to hear, man. Everything's so digitized now. There's so many bands who like it's so they're taking such an easy right way out,
Well, I mean, it's yeah, I can't speak for those bands, but for us, I mean, we even used like a from the mastering. We used this, we went to this other place, 4130 mastering. This guy's kind of old school, and he hasn't done a lot. He's done great music, but maybe not so much metal. But he knows metal very well, more like in the Tool vein. So he brought his
Oh,
vibe.
cool.
Yeah, he brought a different vibe into the mastering. So it's cool. I mean, we just try to be different, man. That's the only way to really break it down.
Hell yeah, man. And I cannot wait for this album to be released. Now, you were talking about Anarchy. I want to know, what was that initial moment where it's like, let's bring Evil Dead back after all these years?
I remember getting a call from Rob Ellenies, our drummer, and he was having a birthday party, and he does this thing called Kill Rob Fest, his name being Rob. So what that is he gets all his bands together, and he plays in every band. So it's like nine bands, and he'll play for like hours. So which is crazy, right? So he called us. He just gave me a call. Hey, what do you think about playing a set of Evil Dead music? And I was playing it in Body Count at the time, and I knew it was his birthday, so I was like, okay, man, it sounds like something fun to do, but let's get the original singer to do it. So we were able to find Phil, and yeah, man, it was from there we just made demos with Bill Metoyer and kept writing and just kind of crafting the songs as best as possible. So
Yeah.
yeah, it was a fun record to make. The only problem with it that we encountered was that the recording process during the pandemic kind of sucked. It slowed things down, and when it came out, we actually started recording before the pandemic, but it came out in 2020. So yeah, trying to put the finishing touches on that. I mean, but that time really sucked for all the bands, right?
Yeah, so it's probably
And
the
everybody
longest record to
really.
make.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
You were talking about, of course, being a Body Count and everything. How did you get involved with Body Count? Because that's such an interesting transition out of Evil Dead.
I was working at a record company, doing some, what was I doing this? Director of operations or something. Just basically what it was, it was a record company, and my boss was an old school hip hop dude, and we were putting out like a DMX record. Yeah, I know, of all people, rest in peace, DMX. So I was putting the, getting all the material together for that, from the artists and their management and their producers. Man, you want to talk about a genre of music that's fucking crazy is hip hop, man. Just putting all that stuff together because you got so many moving pieces. Well, regardless, back to the story. He was an old hip hop guy, so I wanted to. I call my friends in Body Count, and I go, "Hey, man, I'm working over here with this label. They're doing a DMX record. What's Ice doing? And what is Body Count doing? I think, this would be a good place for it." And they were interested in talking about it, but in the process, where I was at, it wasn't the right label for Body Count. So we took it over to Sumerian Records, and they jumped on it right away. And yeah, we put out Manslaughter. I wasn't even in the band at the time. They asked me to play. They had a show booked with Slayer in Austin, Texas, Fun 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 Fest. So they needed a guitar player for that. So in the process of getting them situated with a deal, they needed a guitar player because D Rock had passed away earlier, a few years earlier. So yeah, that led to me getting in the band by me trying to get them a record deal. Next thing you
Wow.
know, they need a guitar player. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't like trying to be in the band. I'm more of a fan of the band, especially the first record and the Born Dead record. So
Yeah.
yeah. So hey man, I was just a fan, and it's trying working at a label, trying to get them a deal, and then they needed a guitar player. It's that simple, really. There's nothing more. And knowing them a little bit, that helped too, for sure.
Yeah. So with Evil Dead now, what's it like going back and forth between bands?
It's not as difficult as it may seem, because both bands are professional, Evil Dead's just like riding a bike, really. If you don't play the songs for a month or so, you just get together, rehearse, and it comes right back. It's not too difficult. You just got to make sure that the schedules are clear, like June is out of the question for Evil Dead for me. So we're gonna do stuff after that. I just gotta make sure that it doesn't interfere with anything. Hey, I'm hey, at least I'm not like Phil Demmel in five bands jumping around, right? He's going from violence to the Kerry King project, and now he's got what, Category 7 with John Bonham. Yeah, so
Insane,
yeah, no, he's
insane.
great. What a phenomenal guitar player and songwriter Phil is, and but yeah, no, but for me it's a lot easier. I mean, it's just a few bands, just Evil Dead and Body Count, so it's really cool.
So, we're gonna be seeing this record on tour. How are you guys gonna go about like putting together a set list for live shows now with four albums? It's a lot easier now.
It's a lot easier, and at the same time, it's sometimes it's hard, man, trying to get the right songs in a set list because you want to play new material, but then you got to be realistic and go, hey, man, we got to play stuff off the Annihilation record. A lot of people have been requesting songs off the Underworld. We seem to only play one or two, one song from that record. So we may need to bring another song in from that record. It's a little bit of a task. You just write down the songs and you kind of mix and match. And if you're playing 40 minutes, you got to trim it down. If you're doing a headline set, then obviously you have more time. But I think what we're going to do with this record is we're going to let it circulate for a little bit. We have this show in August, kind of a record release celebration. And let it maybe do some music videos first, and then go hard, like 2025, go hard with a tour. But we're also talking about doing a show with Sodom up in the Bay Area in October. So that's gonna be pretty cool. For me, it's gonna be a little tricky because I'm doing Body Count the day before at Aftershock Festival, and then I got to go up to Oakland. But hey, the next day. But nah, man, it's all rock and roll, man.
Part of the game.
It's part of the game. It's fun, and this is what I signed up to do, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, we're not even thinking about new music with Toxic Race, but with four albums now, you have quite a lot of diversity in
Yeah.
doing a live set. Have you guys ever talked about maybe in the band's future putting together like a live album?
We haven't talked about a live album. We have discussed live streams, possible live streams. We also talked about possible singles, just one song here and there. We've also talked about EPs. We're fans of punk rock and hardcore. It'd be cool to re-record some of our influences from that genre, maybe do an EP of punk covers. Not to copy Slayer or anybody like that, but we've been a big fan of the hardcore punk scene. But no, that's really all we really talked about. But I mean, if you ask our guitar player Albert, my partner there, he probably has another album written already, or at least enough riffs that, yeah, no, we don't even want to think about that right now, but for sure, we're going to need some bonus tracks because we've been talking about with SPV about reissuing the Underworld Annihilation and adding some bonus tracks to the.
Cool.
So definitely going to need some bonus tracks. So we're taking
Awesome.
it one step at a time. I don't want to get too deep into
Of
this,
course,
Yeah.
So, just in case there's anything we missed, what's the future of Evil Dead look like now going forward?
Now going forward, well, we're very excited and happy that Toxic Grace is coming out May 24th. Looking forward to the show with Whiplash. I hope it sells out. Our last few shows were have been packed, and we're very grateful to play LA and be surrounded with great metal fans worldwide. We'd love to re return to Europe next year
Hell yeah.
and tour there. We've talked about maybe Australia or Japan. And we constantly get feedback about going to South America. We recently played Mexico with Whiplash and DRI. That was a great show. So you know, it's just awesome to have new fans still and young fans that are into our music and definitely want to tour more, you know, for sure.
You guys never played Japan, right? Have
No,
you?
I have with Agent Steel, we did Thrash Domination with it was Agent Steel, Exodus, Nevermore, and then Nevermore on the second day did a different set of Sanctuary songs. That was pretty cool. Yeah. And I think who else was on that bill? Oh, and a band called Outrage from Japan. Yeah, Japan's really cool, man. I mean, very, very great fans. I mean, there's great fans everywhere. But we've talked about going to Japan for sure. We're talking to a band right now about doing something maybe next year.
Yeah, well, I hope to see it, man. That'd be so
Yeah.
cool. So, before
Hey man,
we end.
we also need to get out to the East Coast, honestly.
Yes, you know,
Hey.
there's an amazing bot. There are not a lot of bands in Boston, but the metal scene here of fans is
Yeah.
unbelievable. Violence played a few weeks ago, and it was packed.
Nice. That's great. That's great to hear.
Just a lot of metal bands don't really. It's New York they hit. They don't really come to
Right.
Boston. I know Hyrax and Whiplash are playing in New York, and it's like fuck. You know, I have to drive 4 hours.
Isn't there a band from Boston called Death Before Dishonor?
I'm not too familiar.
They're a hardcore band. I think they're from Boston.
I'll check them out. That
And we did
kind
a
of does
show.
sound familiar.
We did a show with them in I want to say Poland, but it wasn't Poland. And it was like totally cool dudes. I mean, we're more of a thrash vein. They're more hardcore. But that's what's the beauty about music, man. I mean, it doesn't really depend. The genres can be different, but if the people are cool, you get along. And they were a cool band, you know, they're more very hardcore. I think they're from Boston, Death Before Dishonor. Yeah, pretty cool band.
I'll check them out. Yeah, man. A lot of
Definitely.
the I know there's this other band, Final Gasp. They're more of like, I guess, more on the doom side, but they're from New England and they're awesome.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, New England produces a lot of like doom, if anything.
Really? That's cool, man.
But yeah, man. So, what's the best way for people to stay updated with everything Evil Dead?
Just our Facebook page is kind of like our official site. Or hit us up on Instagram, our Instagram page at Body Count Band. Yeah, just that's probably the easiest way. And we hope to have some more music videos out and stuff. In 9 days, we'll have a lyric video coming out for the song Subjugated Souls, and that song will be available. So yeah, just on the, anywhere on social media, we're pretty much on all platforms
Awesome.
except TikTok. We're not into all that.
Good riddance.
Yeah,
Fuck that.
right.
Well, Juan, thank you so much for
Hey
joining me,
man, thank
man.
you
It's been an
man.
honor.
Yeah, cheers
Awesome.
bro. Thank you for your
Cheers.
for everything, man.
I'm Brandon Baddick, and this is Disturbing the Priest.